I have to pee, but I kind of want to like use that energy. You know what I mean?
No.
What?
No.
What do you mean?
No.
Hey, my body, my choice. I can do what I want. I'm an adult.
I am Doug Friedman.
I am Kenzie Janest.
And this is Your Mental Breakdown,
the podcast.
Where we talk about therapy.
Too much. It's a little too much therapy.
Two therapists talking therapy.
Yeah. Ugh. Sick of it. What else should we talk about today, Doug?
You know, I will talk about something. You are big on words, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. I never really realized that. But I am a quite a literal person. So I guess that means language is important.
Sure. So there are some words that I heard as a kid that I thought meant something, and I just never really got to challenge it until I became an adult.
Where is this going?
Well, I'll tell you, it's so not scared. That much of a secret, but I was talking to a friend of mine who's a teacher, and we were talking about getting tenure, right?
Tenure. I have probably a similar story, but please go
no,
on.
No. Your story is my story. I'm sure it's just about everybody else's story.
Did not know that tenure was T-E-N-U-R-E. Uh-huh. Thought it was 10 years.
Same here. Okay. I thought as a teacher, once you hit the 10-year mark,
you
are untouchable and you're tenured.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So you're saying this to make me feel okay, because lately I've been feeling not okay.
I'm so glad you feel okay because of this. I don't even think it makes me feel stupid. It used to make me feel stupid when I didn't know these things. Now I just go, oh, I always thought it was this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You own up to the things you don't know.
Right.
And that's on adulthood. Right. I mean, as a kid, it's just like shame. And then you get older and you're like, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Right.
I can't afford to.
Pop culture stuff that you don't know.
Oh, right? I get reamed for that all the time
right.
by my friends and family.
Does it really bother you?
No, I think I'm better off not knowing pop culture things. Maybe there's actually a sense of pride.
Right.
Ooh, we're cracking things. Sorry, I'm like covering my mouth. I'm not used to this still. It's bad. I think you hit something there. I think there is a sense of pride, and maybe that's why I block it out so much. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear who's dating who. Timothy Chalamet is dating one of the Jenner. Timothée. Don't tell me that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
Timothée?
Uh-huh. He's French. It's Timothée Chalamet.
Timothée.
He doesn't say Chalamet. It that way. He says it.
Because us Americans can't handle that.
Well, and Travis Kelce, do you know who he is?
No.
Football player who's dating Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, now who's making fun of who?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I had to.
Have you heard of Taylor Swift?
I think I know her. I'm familiar.
Okay.
I'm not a Swiftie.
So.
Sorry. Oh.
Travis Kelce, a football player, whose brother Jason Kelce, they have a podcast together, which is huge.
Called The Joe Rogan Experience?
Oh, no.
Don't get us started.
No. It's called New Heights. It's its own thing. And they recently found out, or recently said, that their last name, Kelce, is actually pronounced Kelse.
Oh, because is it spelled K-E-L-S-E?
Close. C, not an S, but yes.
Okay.
Right.
That's fair. Yeah.
But they were just talking to their dad, and he was like, yeah, it's Kelse.
Oh, wow.
But they just went around going Kelce, and they're like, yeah, whatever. It's fine.
You know what? I am feeling stupid now, because my last name is Janest, which I have been saying the American way, and it's Genet, like the French version is
really?
Genet. My ancestors are French, but I would never. How pretentious would I sound if I was like, my name's Kenzie Genet?
You would sound like, who's that late night talk show host? Stephen Colbert? Do you know him?
Colbert.
Right.
Isn't it Colbert?
Oh, wow. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Kenzie Genet.
Oh, I see. This is the whole freaking point. Yeah. Uh-huh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's
see,
right.
Exactly. It sounds pretentious. So I don't do that. Timothée Chalamet, I'm going to have dreams about that tonight because that.
I could
me.
Be wrong. It's possible I'm wrong. I'm not always right.
What? Well, this is news to me. What am I doing here? If you don't know everything, what am I doing here?
I don't know everything. I know a lot about some things, but...
Like therapy.
No, wait. I know some about a lot, but not a lot about... Oh, man. I don't even know what I know anymore.
The more I know, the less I know.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And that's therapy. That's being a therapist.
Well, what we know is we've been listening to Sarah. We're just going to get right to it because we're talking ourselves into the ground.
We love doing that here. I could do it all day.
Well, we have been doing it all day.
Yeah. Okay. Let's We're going to
step away. You're going to hear Sarah, and we will be back. Oh, man. I blame my mom.
For what?
For what Sarah's about to say, because she was just listening.
Oh, it's so good, though. It's so good. There you go.
Shout out to my mom.
Mama! We love her.
We will be back momentarily to break it down for you.
So I listened to Drew's episode yesterday, and then I listened to it again today because I find your relationship with your mother just so beautiful. And, you know, there was one really specific part that just made me want to be exactly like her when I grew up. But you got to a place where you were like, what are you saying? You're proud of me?
Right.
And then and she was like, well, I don't know if I go that far. And you're both laughing and joking. And you're like, nah, we'll save that for another time. And then she just did the most amazing thing. She was like, no, let's take a moment so I can tell you how extraordinarily proud I am of you. Yeah. And then she went on to give you like very specific, very like I felt support and praise. I felt her respect for you and her love for you and her pride for you. And I just thought it was so amazing. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank
you. So wonderful. And I'm thinking, man, no wonder Doug is such a good therapist. I kept thinking to myself, how wonderful must it have been to grow up with a mother like that.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing too, because I hear it all the time with friends. We'll talk about my relationship with their parents or their relationship with my parents. And it's different than their relationship with their parent or mine with mine. You're hearing my mom and our relationship now. It's gone through a lot to get there. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the thing that I can take from what you said, and I mean, I'll appreciate all of what you said, but what I'll take from that and kind of throw back to you in a way is that what we have always had is the kind of relationship where we can communicate.
I know you don't like when I get intellectual, but I have a sense, or I had a sense listening to the two of you, that there is an element of your relationship on an intellectual level, because you're both professionals in the same industry. I don't know your mother at all, but sure. I just feel that to get to a point where you are both talking as intellectuals, but really hearing each other and really appreciating each other, I just thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. What I hear from all this in you is you being moved by the relationship and what that's like. And that's something that I don't mind when you talk intellectually at all. As long as the emotion is also there, we can get intellectual. We can even get intellectual without the emotion. That's okay. I will scratch until we find it if we need to. What I hear from you is you recognizing my mom and I sharing an occupation or having an intellectual conversation about something is really cool. And you talking about that was actually more emotional than intellectual, because I hear from you, knowing you, I didn't have that. I did not. You were discouraged, right? And what is amazing about you is that you have created something with your kids where you can communicate.
And I think why this episode resonated with me so much is because it came into my life right at the time where I am looking at and reevaluating and sort of redoing almost my future mother-child relationship. And all of those things that popped out to me about how your mother, it wasn't just your mother, it was how the two of you treated each other. There's never been a time from a parental figure where I felt that they weren't just giving me praise or acclamation because they knew, they understood I was doing something and I was good at it. And not only was I good at it, I was creating my own good. I was creating my own way.
Look, I will say something your mother said to you and change the intonation and it will be praise, right? Seeing you in a hospital crying, I could say, oh, that's Sarah. She's the sensitive one, right? And that's acknowledging something in a way that I think is a gift. It wasn't said that way to you when she said it. You didn't really get that experience from your parents or anybody around you. Mm-hmm. And maybe that fed the perfectionism. Well, if I can do something.
Yes, I was just going to say that. That might be what I've been chasing. Maybe that's what's been pushing me to finally get recognition that I deserve. I feel like maybe I've been chasing an element of that relationship and trying to find it in other people.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel I can ever communicate with my parents on a level where we're on the same level.
And it's something that I think for you, the chase isn't going to bear fruit.
I mean, clearly not. Well, because it's unachievable, I think. I don't think I'm ever going to get, you know, like an alcoholic or a sex addict. Like, they're always chasing something, but they're never going to, it's never going to be what they want it to be, so they're going to keep chasing it.
And the irony, and I truly mean irony here, is that what sometimes we can see is if they stopped chasing, it's already there. They're just trying to hear it from a certain person or in a certain way. Your deserving of praise is already there, not by your accomplishments or achievements, but because of who and how you are. I think when people know this about you and they see you, then they acknowledge a certain level that you operate at. That's just how you are. And they come to expect that. So they expect how you are, and they don't necessarily praise it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that they
totally
aren't impressed, aren't thrilled, don't appreciate. They're just not really saying it to you. And it's certainly not coming from your parents. But you are, I would say, pretty reliable. Mm-hmm. And they've grown to expect it. So you're constantly meeting those expectations for them of how you are. And that's right. You see where I'm going with this?
No, you're exactly right. That's exactly what it is. So because of that, I'm constantly in a battle with myself because I want somebody or I don't even think I want recognition or praise. I want it from, like you said, a specific person, and I want it to feel a specific way, and it's not going to happen.
Right.
And that's why I instead turned this around to be a life lesson as a parent to give that to my children, because that is what I want my children to feel from me. I do make a very, very specific effort to look my children in the eye and tell them when something is amazing. Like I told you, the other day, daughter wrote a poem for a school project.
Right.
It actually made me tear up. It was amazing. I was like, I gave her specific praise. to exactly what she had done. And that is how I'm trying to sort of model my path. So it was just really amazing to me that this episode just kind of hit all of those points of things that I want to be to my children.
Yeah.
And perhaps that will allow me to stop the search on my end. I don't know, but I'm hoping that could be a side effect.
It can be a gateway to that, for sure. And it's something that you are getting to experience. You are creating those new neural pathways. You're opening yourself to things being like this around you and subjectively experiencing it kind of on the other side of it. I want to put you on the receiving side of that for a second. That whole idea of chasing something, wanting to hear it specifically, people being able to see who you are, how you are, expect that level from you, which is wonderful. Talk about it for a minute here in terms of your annual review and how you are at work.
I think this kind of all comes back to the same sort of thing, which is whether it's praise or criticism, I want it to be appropriate. I want it to mean something. I don't have a problem with criticism when Right. it means something, when it helps me grow or do something even differently, not necessarily better, but let's say differently. That is not a problem for me. What I don't like is praise that's just like, oh my gosh, you're so great. Well, why am I so great? What did I do? Or, oh my gosh, you totally suck. Well, okay, how do I suck? But what in particular do I need to change? So I think really that's just my sort of whole theme here, is that I'm looking for something or expecting or trying to find something that speaks to me, and it's not there, and then that upsets me or disappoints me.
Absolutely. And it might even be there, but we're looking for it a certain way, so we don't see it the way that it's there. I want to throw the outliers out. So the harsh criticism or the, oh my God, you're so wonderful, you did such a great job. Let's throw both of those sides out. And something that is not going to be how you're looking for it, but it might be what you're looking for. In the context of an annual review, in the same way that I could say back to you the thing that your mom said to you in the hospital with different intonation, I'm going to say something to you with a slightly different intonation and an embellishment, and I want to see how it lands, okay? I'm essentially taking meets expectations and giving a different voice to it, right?
Okay.
Because when you are in an annual review, for example, and looking for something that is not those outliers that, well, okay, you this, and this, and here's our 12-page response of what you need to work on. And it's not, oh my God, we could not exist without you. You're amazing. Throw both of those out. If it would sound something like, well, Sarah, you know, we were looking through your work this year, and man, you are just rock solid. We can always depend on you. You absolutely meet our expectations every time. And this place could not run the same way if you weren't here.
You are essentially telling me that meets expectations is solid. It is, you are doing a great job specifically because you meet expectations and we can count on you and we know you're always going to meet expectations. At this point in my life, in my mind, I still don't love it.
Right.
But I see what you're doing and I see what you're saying. And it is a little easier for me to kind of accept.
How did it feel when I was saying that to you?
I mean, I knew where you were going with it.
That's not what I asked.
So
how did you feel hearing it?
I know. I felt that you met expectations, Doug.
Yeah, I know. This is the hard part. It's accessing what we're feeling about something. You know, even though it was an exercise, there's something about it that is new and different for you. It's that idea that I see you.
Yeah.
And I'm acknowledging that. How was that?
It was a feeling that I guess I'm trying to make sense of being comfortable with. If it was my manager's face saying that to me, I would have feelings because I don't think she meets expectations. I don't think she does her job well at all. In that context, I would just think like, okay,
Right. And let's move out of the work context and just the exercise of me seeing you. I mean, like, we'll take it out of the annual review land entirely. What you're getting to experience is somebody acknowledging who you are just for who and how you are. That's not based on an achievement. Yes. You are getting comfortable with what you're hearing as you're hearing it, not what you're hoping to hear or anxious to hear or afraid to hear, what you're actually hearing and taking it that way.
Yeah. I'm hungry for the feedback and I love it and it means so much to me. I guess it just depends on if I feel the person giving me the feedback.
What I hear you saying is when somebody is offering a critique of me as a person, I need to respect them as a person. If I play a song for somebody, they can like it or not like it, that's fine. But if they want to critique the instrumentation, the composition, and they're not a musician, it's not going to mean anything.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. If you're not a musician, don't tell me how to arrange my songs.
Right.
Don't tell me to go to a different key. You sing that key and then tell me, you know?
Right.
But if they are, then I'm like, okay. And I might not always take their advice, but I'm going to try it at least, you know? That part of me is eager to learn and it's eager to become better.
And there's something about pushing yourself to be better in comparison to others and pushing yourself to be better in terms of yourself. When I was in junior high, I went to the Junior Olympics for sprinting. And I'm fast, but I'm not that fast. You know, I think out of 9 people, I finished in 8th place only because one person stepped over a line and got disqualified. But I did not beat anybody at all, right? And what was really interesting was I looked at my own time. And even though I finished 8th, but really dead last in that heat, I actually beat my best time. And it was when I learned the phrase personal best. What do you think of that idea, that personal best? Because it really is, your inner critic is going to be stronger than anybody else's.
Absolutely. And I'm actually a big believer in the whole personal best thing. But I think that also throws me into my pattern of really just being at war with myself. I'm competing with myself.
Yeah.
For something, toward something, who knows what. It's maybe not even there, whatever I'm striving for.
It's interesting because the way that you're talking about it makes a lot of sense. And I want to leave room for not the constant push to be better.
It's really a context thing when it comes to, am I good enough? Am I better than expected? Am I meets expectation? Okay, who's telling me that? You know, exactly. Who's giving me that feedback?
Yes, yes.
That's where I struggle.
Right, right. And that's something that I think for you, it's not just other people's expectations. It's become your expectations. You know, like you said earlier, it's something that you're chasing, you know, and when you stop chasing and you just realize what is, you know, great. But that idea that you have to be constantly pushed, you know, or constantly praised, I don't know that you've been able to just be, because nobody was really there in that way except you for you. And I will say, you are there for your kids. You have said things to me about your kids, and I just want to see how the poke goes. In the context of what we're talking about, the idea of just being there without pushing or the without, C's. You know, syrupy praise. It's we don't get C's in this house. And we don't scream in this house. We could do that. We could do that one too. What do you think of that?
I'm getting on board with the maybe we can look at getting C's in this house, but I'm still a no on the screaming.
I'm okay. Yeah.
They can go outside and scream.
Perfect. They can go outside and scream. You know, and maybe it's not just getting a C. Maybe it's being able to put the effort in.
Sure.
Maybe the idea of just showing up.
I would have wanted a parent or parents who showed up and were present. I don't even think I would have wanted criticism or guidance from either of my parents in anything, a sport, because they don't play that sport. I would want it from my coach.
Right.
I would want to do better next time. Let's go to sports. When I was a kid, I played sports all the time. I loved volleyball, and I was surprisingly awesome at basketball. At the end of the game, the only person I would go to was the coach and say, right. Okay, do you remember X play? I went, you know, set it up on the net, and the person who I set it up for, I guess, you know, it was at the wrong angle. What should I have done to set that up better? That's, for me, what I would have wanted. As far as my parents, I would have, you know, probably like what I do with my kids. You did great. Sorry you lost. I had to really teach my kids lessons about being gracious losers and gracious winners.
As you were describing talking to the volleyball coach, you went back very, very slightly into enunciation. And it's okay. Really, it's okay. It's an indication to me that there's something there about, I don't want to get it wrong. What could I have done better? How could I make sure, you know? And some of it is I want to do well, and some of it is I want to make sure nothing bad happens. That one's going to take a while, but my job is to point some of those things out when I hear them. It's not for you to correct it. Oh, I got to stop enunciating all the time. How you carry yourself now versus how you carried yourself 6 months ago, so different. So different. You look so much more relaxed.
At least I'm making progress. Thank you.
And we're back.
Action.
Bring it on.
Sarah comes in today, right? Today? What the fuck am I saying?
Sarah comes in this session.
I was going to say she comes in hot. And I'm like, no, she doesn't. She does not come in hot. But she does come in.
You're coming in hot.
I'm coming in hot. Oh, my God. I told you.
She's coming in nostalgically.
Nostalgically and nostalgia, tomato. She is, oh, my God, I'm having brain meltdown right now. She's commenting on the fact that she listens to the podcast, first of all, which I love when she starts with, like, I listened to an episode of the podcast and your mom was on. And it's just, oh, my gosh, talk about like parallel process, but to the nth degree. There's like three layers here. You know what I mean? Like, she's reparenting herself via her children, and she's listening to your relationship with your mom and comparing that and feeling all the feelings.
Yep.
And I like that you are honest with her about, like, it took time to get here with me and my mom.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing I took away from her. I was like, okay, good, cool. It's not just, oh, yeah, we have such an awesome relationship. Like, you should be jealous, you know? Like, we're perfect.
Right.
But no, like, family dynamics are hard. And I think you've talked about yourself with your dad, too. Like, things are not perfect, right? But, like, yeah, my mom and I, we've reached a place that's healthy and we can talk to each other openly. And I think that's the big thing that stood out to Sarah, right? Is that she heard in all of that, like, your mom's sense of pride for you, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that was big really, for her. Yeah, that stood out to her, which was really just touching.
Okay. So you hit a couple of things. So even as you're saying this stuff, just so you know where my head was going when she was saying this. So one thing for sure is I'm going to say thank you, period. I'm not going to dismiss it or deflect it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking of her dynamic with her kids mm-hmm. as a mom, mm-hmm. her dynamic with her mom and her parents. Mm-hmm. And as she's talking about the pride thing, mm-hmm. oh, mm. that ties into issues of perfectionism.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, good segue.
Just off the bat, in our sort of chit chat, she was like, oh yeah, I was listening to that Drew episode with your mom on the breakdown. And what's building for mm-hmm. me is mm-hmm. what's on her mind consciously mm-hmm. and unconsciously for sure is mm-hmm. that idea of perfectionism, of pride. Mm-hmm. Like my mom will be proud or somebody will be proud of me if I'm perfect, if I do a right. good job.
I have to exceed expectations, which we'll get to right, in order
right.
to.
So yeah. I'm already just in the chit chat. Yeah, I'm already going, yeah. oh, this is right here. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll go here today. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure, but I'm going, okay, that's already right there.
Throughout listening to this session, the whole time I was thinking of the concept of external validation and how sometimes it is not vilified, but people are like, oh, we shouldn't depend on others for validation, right? Like we should be able to validate right. ourselves. And right. I think you have a nice balanced perspective here, but you know, she wants that praise and she wants it to be specific mm-hmm. in order for herself to feel mm-hmm. perfect. Yeah. To feel good about herself. And yeah. there was a time when I would be like, oh no, we don't need external validation, right? Like we yeah. should get that all from ourselves, but we're also social creatures and like, hell yeah, we need external validation, or we need people to be there and see us and hear us for who we are.
Totally. And I say this, I've said this recently, like in the last few weeks with clients talking about internal and external validation.
Oh yeah. Theme of the week.
It's totally. And sometimes that happens. We have yeah. a theme of the week, right?
Totally.
I mean, you're 2 weeks late for this one because this was 2 weeks ago. I was talking about mm-hmm. this with clients, but hey,
mm-hmm. yeah.
we'll go there. We'll go yeah. there again.
Sure.
I think the idea is external validation is not inherently bad at all. It's right. actually really nice to yeah. get external validation when it touches what you believe is true internally. So it's similar to, as therapists, when we reflect something yeah. to a client,
uh-huh.
that's giving them the an mirror. External mirror to yeah. see something internally.
I knew you were going there right? with the mirror, because that's right? something that's always hit me hard whenever you say that with a client is the, well, maybe I'm just a mirror. And it also makes me think about when clients praise us a lot as therapists, right? And they right. like give us a bunch of praise and appreciation. And it's like, kind of ties in there. Like, are we just going to deflect that and not right. own that? Or do we say, thanks, yeah, I'll take my credit, which is what you do. And like, mm-hmm. also, I'm kind of the mirror. Like, I think you're really proud of yourself, actually.
Or, oh, you'd be proud of me. I heard your voice in my head. Or what would Doug do? All of that to me uh-huh. is just a way of them growing their own internal.
Hmm.
They just needed mm-hmm. to see it externally
yeah.
to grow that and to feel that. If you're constantly in search of external validation.
Right. That's where it gets not as effective, right. not as helpful right. and potentially harmful.
Totally.
Yeah. If that's what you're relying on. I think you do right. have to have some sort of pillar of strength or whatever self-concept inside of you to like know who you are.
Well, right? And as we said, deflecting compliments and not mm-hmm. taking compliments. And there's so many people that I talk to, mm-hmm. clients and friends that go, oh yeah, I'm not good at compliments. Like, oh no, yeah. don't tell me I'm good. No, I don't want to hear that.
I know. Aren't you kind of sick of hearing that now? It's like, just own
from
it.
You or just in general?
No, because this is my projecting, but I'm like, I used to be that person. Absolutely. I don't know how to take
used
praise.
To?
Okay, so I'm still that person. I don't know how to take praise. But saying like, I just don't know how to accept compliments. Like it almost sounds like cringy at this point. Because it's like, just shut up. Just take the compliment.
Right.
You know?
Right, sure. And for some people, they really don't know how to take the compliment because they don't have that ego strength, we could say. They yeah. don't have that thing inside internally.
That pillar I was talking about. Almost like a compass inside too of just like, who am I? What's the next best move yeah. here?
And
like,
I think if you don't have that built yeah. internally, then the one of two things may happen. You mm-hmm. will get compliments and mm-hmm. you will totally deflect them and not mm-hmm. believe them and not mm-hmm. be good at them and don't want them.
That's true. Right? How could you believe them?
Or yeah. you will get them and think that that's what you need to chase and you need to keep doing that and keep doing that. And it's
that's
not
the
feeding
part,
anything.
Yeah, that's the part I get stuck on that it could be problematic, right? Especially in Sarah's case here. Like if she did get the external validation or praise, or if you were like the type of therapist that did praise her all the time, that would just be reinforcing the fact that she's not good as she is right. and she needs to keep exceeding and
right exceeding expectations. And that's Ooh. Even with Drew yeah. there was a session that we had in an episode about the challenge, not the fluff, right? Where mm-hmm. he was saying mm-hmm. a mm-hmm. lot of what we were doing in sessions
yeah.
felt like fluff, which had its time and place. It we
yeah.
needed it right?
yeah
it feels good to hear that, to get those reflections, but he also likes to be challenged.
I see this a lot with clients, actually, that they'll be like, you know, my past therapist was just the, oh, I'm so sorry. The validating, the warm, gentle therapist, which is like great. And it's needed sometimes,
right.
But they so badly want someone to kind of like pick them up a little bit, just to spice it up.
And to me, there's an art, and I say it all the time. Sure. It's learning how to push without pushing over.
Yes. Yes. I referred to this the other day, actually, or maybe it was earlier today. I don't even know. But but that's such a good way of saying like that balance, right? You don't want to push someone over the edge, but you do want to.
Don't push me because I'm close to
the
edge.
Hey,
you edge. Know that?
Yeah. Wow. That is very much my generation, right? Oh, shit. Hold on. That's
very old.
I'm thinking of the... Oh, this is so embarrassing right now. I'm thinking of the cover of... What's the Penguin movie?
The Penguin movie? Happy
Feet? Happy Feet?
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure they did that in Happy Feet. And I am now realizing... See, this is it. This is
it. It's not Sugar Hill Gang?
Didn't know that it wasn't just from Happy Feet.
Yeah, yeah.
The more you know. Where were we?
We were praising each other.
No, we weren't. No, we weren't. We're quite the opposite.
The idea of feeling that internally, growing that internally, and like I said, with Sarah, she starts off the session by talking about, the communication with your mom, what that's like, and how you're doing it. And then we get to lean into the communication that she's building with her kids and where that is. And then I think this is where you were going, pivot to the idea of driving for the praise and exceeding expectations and how if certain people see you as somebody who is just constantly achieving or constantly doing great, then they don't necessarily praise you for that. They just expect that from you. So now, and this is where I was going with her and she totally got it. I even, I was like, you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Because that is meeting expectations because you have created those expectations because of how you are. Which is praiseworthy.
See, I didn't even actually get that at first when I was listening through it. I didn't realize, you have set the bar so high that when they say you're meeting expectations, it's like their expectations of you, which are high.
Right, like, right.
They're already high.
Exactly.
You can't even exceed the expectations because they're already so flipping high.
Right.
Like you've set the bar so high.
Right.
But I didn't even realize that because actually when I was listening to this, selfishly, I'm just like, oh my God, I relate to Sarah here so hard. This is a really hard life lesson, I think, for the inner perfectionist, right? Like to not go above and beyond all the time. I don't want just an A. I need an A++. I need to know that I am going above and beyond and that I'm better than everyone else.
Yeah. Okay. So you might not know this, but Spinal Tap, right?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Ours go to 11. You know this? This one goes to 11.
Okay. No,
so he's talking about this amplifier for his guitar. That goes to 11.
You've talked about this before. Maybe it on the podcast or just in conversation? I don't know.
Probably but both. I talk about this. It a lot. I mean, it's Spinal Tap. Come on. You got to talk about
it. It's Spinal Tap. I don't even know what it is.
But the idea of the amp that goes to 11, right? Because sometimes you want to go even more, right?
Yes.
And the interviewer, Rob Reiner, he did the movie. It was the first mockumentary, like rockumentary.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he goes, why not just make 10 louder? And he goes, but this goes to 11.
What does that mean to make 10 louder, though? Wouldn't that be 11? Come on.
The idea is 11 is just a louder 10.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And that's what I'm talking about. People like you, Kenzie, and like Sarah, are striving for that 11. I want to exceed I want the A++.
What is that about? Because Sarah and I have very different lives, obviously. And so why do we both have this? Why do so many people have that drive to be better? It's almost like this, I just want to optimize my life. I want to be the best version of myself, which we will get to too here.
Right. Well, like, I mean, y'all can't see this, but Kenzie's like pumping with her fist. Like that drive.
Yeah.
That drive, that's what perfectionism is. It's that drive to be perfect. Mm-hmm. It's not actually reaching perfect.
No, because it's not possible. What does perfect even mean?
Exactly.
It means nothing.
when you put it in that way, like, it means nothing because you can never get there.
Yeah, it's
if you realize that it's the journey, not the destination, or it's I am striving for my best, I'm constantly doing this, and that's what it's about. If you aren't able to recognize that somehow there's something internal that knows mm-hmm. I'm good enough. This is good.
Yeah.
Because you've never heard that. You only get right. attention or acknowledgement when you do even better yeah. or even worse.
Right. When you're at your extreme low or your extreme high.
Yeah. Right. So that idea of meets expectations, I love for Sarah, because that mm-hmm. idea to me mm-hmm. means they're acknowledging that you operate at a certain level and they appreciate that.
Yeah, you're already there.
Right.
And it's also like what you say to her, which is, you said it so eloquently, and I'm going to butcher it. Freddie, your deserving of praise is already there just right. because of who you are.
Yeah. It's also the follow your bliss line, right?
Mm, I haven't heard that one.
You don't know follow your bliss?
No.
Carl Rogers?
Oh, no. What? Delete.
Oh, no. Jeez, wait.
It can't be Carl Rogers. I feel like I would know that.
No. Follow your bliss is Joseph Campbell.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
I know who that is. Do not follow him, though. Like, I do Carl Rogers. Right. I don't know him as well. That's why I was, like, mortified that I didn't know that was a Rogers thing.
Sorry. I was thinking Mr. Rogers. That's different. But Joseph Campbell, the line is, if you follow your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of track that has been there all the while waiting for you. And the life that you ought to be living is the one you are living.
I have to challenge that or argue that, only because I keep thinking of like the hedonic treadmill or like that pursuit mm-hmm. of pleasure, right? Like if you follow bliss, I mean, shit, some people are going to be heroin addicts then.
Yeah, but that's
I'm taking right. it to another place.
Yeah, I mean, you're molding it and constructing it how you want
myself,
to.
But yeah.
I mean, if you look at what the idea of that is saying.
Yes.
Okay. Is it's going, well, it's here right now. The life that you're living is right. the one that you want in the striving. It's okay. not following your bliss like to get to it.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the act of the following journey, that makes it blissful. It's the journey, not the destination. Yeah. All those cliches.
Stop
right?
and smell the dang roses.
That's right.
Got it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, it's that idea of, can you acknowledge that you are praiseworthy mm-hmm. just inherently by who you are and right. how you are. You already are that way mm-hmm. and people expect you to be that way because yeah. they expect you to be you. So you're mm-hmm. meeting expectations.
Yeah. Then I wonder though, in Sarah's case then, and I don't think she takes it here, but I would wonder, like, does that maybe suggest that there's like pressure to stay at that level? Because what if you like falter, right? Like what if you drop a little bit and you don't even meet the expectation? Okay. Like it almost
so,
sticks.
Right. Yeah. The what if? It's
yeah.
okay. It's answering those questions. What if I don't stay there? Well,
yeah.
that's okay. We all make mistakes or okay. we can all fall. That's all right. It's that idea that you don't have to be amazing to get praise and you don't mm. have to be horrible to get attention.
Right.
You can get okay. attention in that mid. And she was saying that idea of just getting empty praise, which she experienced from her mom, right?
Yeah, that just was interesting getting, to me, like right. the superficial surface level stuff. It just didn't do it for her.
Right. And look, I mean, part of what she was noticing, like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. you're getting praise from your mom. Like, yeah, it took me a long time
yeah.
to get there because there were times, I tell a story of like my mom and dad when mm-hmm. I was first learning how to like play guitar and kind of write a song and do that.
Right.
I would play it for my dad and he would go, I don't really get it. It's not my thing.
Ouch.
I don't know. Like, really? And like, okay. Oh,
that hurts my heart.
It does. And it did. Mm-hmm. And I was constantly striving to mm-hmm. get him
yeah.
to kind of see that. And there yeah. was one time when he did come to a show of mine mm-hmm. and he saw me on stage playing and performing and singing, playing guitar. And afterwards mm-hmm. he went, hey, you know what, son? I get it.
Aw.
And that meant okay. a lot. That was great.
Yeah, of course.
But I wasn't doing it to get that response from him. But it was just, I grew up kind of with that from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas from my mom, mm-hmm. I would play her something that objectively was pretty basic and not that great. You
but
know?
You were a kid, right?
Right. I was a teenager when I started
okay.
to play. And,
still.
You know, something that my dad would go, yeah, I don't get it, son. I don't know, whatever.
Like, yeah, you suck.
Pretty much. Right. But then my mom would go, oh my God, this is amazing. You're going to change the
yeah.
world with your music. Like,
yeah.
wow. So I had
wow.
to find
the
where,
hot and cold, yeah.
right? I had to find where the middle was for me.
Yeah.
So I loved having those two extremes in mm-hmm. my parenting
mm-hmm.
because it got me to find middle. I think Sarah's experience is she has gotten the, what she calls empty praise from
yeah.
mom,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And then she also says like, and I think you both get there together, actually. Like, it has to do with the person giving the praise, too, right? Like,
yep.
part of it was that she maybe didn't really respect her mom, or maybe didn't actually want, I don't want to say didn't want her praise, because we all have that innate, just like, yeah, we want our caregivers to be proud of us. But right. I think because of who her mom was and the actions that, you know, she was partaking in and blah, 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 like she was.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, and that's, and you're right. Sarah says, like, if I don't respect somebody and they're giving me a compliment, I'm not going to take it. I don't respect them. And I said the thing about, if I play a song for somebody and they're not a musician and they critique it a certain way, it's not going to mean as much. But if somebody who is a musician hears it, I'm going to take what they say and it has more meaning. And she, I mean, I knew that she had a music background also. So she heard that and was like, exactly. That's my point. That's what I'm talking about. If you're not a musician, don't tell me how to arrange my songs. Don't tell me that I should change the key. Don't, because you don't know. You're not a musician. So don't.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, fairly valid with her saying, I'm not going to take praise from somebody I don't respect. Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
Can we still see that what they're saying might have some merit, good or bad?
Right. Because they're still a human with, like, you know, feelings and thoughts and opinions. And
right.
I also thought of it, and maybe this is going way too far, but I did think it in terms of almost like the appeal to authority fallacy, which I don't think she's doing here, but I'm wondering if there's a sense of like, okay, I was in a cult, right? This is not a fully formulated thought here, but I just thought of it like,
let's go.
Because you're in the cult and you have someone who's telling you, right? Like right from wrong. And I just wonder if that plays into like, going either way on it, on the spectrum, right? Like going from like, okay, you know, fuck you, Berg, like fuck you, leader, authority. I don't need to listen to your praise or your mantras, whatever you have to say. But on the other hand, also, you know, she's saying, you know, I'm not going to get my hair done by a hairstylist with shitty hair, but it's such a subjective thing, right? So I'm like, well, what does that mean, right? Like if you don't like their hair, then.
So if we're looking at the cult for her, remember that what a cult does is rob you of your agency as an individual.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're getting praise, it's probably getting praise for being a follower.
Right.
Right?
Ooh, yeah, that's true. For not being an individual.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we could say similar things about school or the military.
Yeah, really
you get
any
praise for following the rules.
Yeah.
There is something to that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's inherently bad at all.
Right. There's some order in that that we want. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. However, if you don't believe in the thing, if you disagree with the thing, then getting the praise for following it.
Oh, it's confusing.
Right.
Yeah. It's like cognitive dissonance.
Right.
Like, oh God, it doesn't feel right.
She has developed something where, okay, well, who's giving me the praise?
So she's just extra skeptical maybe too of like the people who is giving advice or giving praise or whatever. Right. Which I think is why she really likes you and why you have such a good relationship, because you don't take on that authority figure mentality.
Which, and what you just said is exactly why almost every time she likes getting the praise from me, I will break out the mirror again and say, right, these are your values. And this is you praising yourself through me.
Right.
Because I don't want it to be me doing that, because that just plays into, oh, here's another leader that she's seeking the approval
following
from.
Following orders.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which is so not what she's doing here either.
It's not even
like you're faking it, right? By saying the right thing. Like, no, she's actually not doing this just for you. Like, this is so about her.
Totally. And that's why I wanted to bring it back to the internal by telling her the story about, you know, the personal best and the story of like running a race, which is another true story.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah.
You did so many sports. You're such a sporty man.
I was. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't relate to any of it. I did play sports for a few years, but I'm not competitive. I'm not sporty. So like all the sport metaphors, you'll notice I like cut a lot of them out because I don't even know what they mean sometimes.
Sort of, but you do. I mean, you might not know from sports what that means.
Like literally. Yeah.
Right. However, you know what it is to have a personal best and want to do better than the personal best.
Yeah, right? But I feel like I know it, and maybe that's just me, because I relate to Sarah on this one again a lot, you know, that constantly trying to push to be better. It's part of the perfectionism too. It's totally part of like a control mechanism, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's, and I was actually so proud of her, if I can say that, for a realization that she hit when I was talking about that in terms of your personal best and trying to find where that is internally.
Right.
So you hold that. And she said, I'm actually a big believer in that, but I think that also throws me into the pattern of being at war with myself and competing yes. with myself.
Like, yes.
Oh,
that
wow.
hit so hard. That's yeah. what I'm saying. Like, I related to that so much. I think so many of us can relate to that because we are, especially as a perfectionist, like you are at war with yourself every day. How can I be better? You're shitting on yourself if you're not being better. And it's totally. Like just inner critic to like, oh, high volume inner critic.
Right.
And the being your best thing too, I feel like you spiral and just circle the drain because what does it even mean like to be your personal best? And I know that you're going to argue and I want to hear your perspective on this because this is what you're talking about. And it did resonate for her. But with sports and stuff, it's like a measurable thing. Like, you know, like, okay, when you're weightlifting and you're like, you know, you've gotten your personal best weight, right? And now sure. I'm moving up. It's progressive, whatever.
Right. Right.
But, you know, on just a day-to-day mental health perspective, how do you know that you are doing your personal best?
I love that you just said that you're doing your personal best, because to me, a lot of clients okay. will say, well, yeah, I'm trying. And I'll say, no, you're not trying. You're doing.
Oh, okay.
Right?
That was a good thing. I thought you were critiquing it. I was like, oh, God, what did I say? I said it wrong.
Now we're getting meta.
Sorry.
Right?
Sorry.
No. It was great because doing your best
right.
is trying. You know, and people will go, well, I'm trying.
Yeah.
That's
you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's taking the action and it's being in that zone. And it's something where for Sarah, there was a great reference point that I have for her. Of her daughter bringing home a C. Right?
Oh, yes.
Right?
The and classic saying, line.
Right? We don't get C's in this house.
That I still can't believe she said because she's just so different now. Like what I know of Sarah, I can't even imagine her saying that. Just goes to show.
Exactly.
People change.
People change. And sometimes she'll push back from that of like, well, I still think that we need to try. We need to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's mm-hmm. doing.
Right. Okay. Yes. I get it. I see it. So yeah, when you're trying to be better, when you have the awareness, right? I think that's a big part of it too. Like when you have the self-awareness and an emotional awareness too, and you can check in with yourself and you know, it's like knowledge is power, right? Like when you know what's going on, you can
right.
then tell yourself, okay, I'm doing it. Like based right. on what I know, right. I am doing my best.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a weird, weird semantic thing. Like if you're trying to do better, then you're doing
right.
the best. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just such an internal conflict. I feel like on a daily basis where I'm like, am I doing my best right now? Like, could I be doing better right now? Which I'm sure Sarah right. feels and
that,
like.
Yeah. All the time. And I kind of think that if you have that self-reflection, that's a great place to start. I don't mm-hmm. want that to be the only thing. If we go with athletes, there are some athletes that will hit the gym, work out harder, you know,
yeah.
and go 7 out of 10. Mm-hmm. You know, that's great for whatever sport they're in.
See, I don't even know what that means.
You know what 7 out of 10
well,
means?
Well, like, I literally know what that means, but in a sports context, I'm not sure I know what that means.
Well, okay, let me flip it because I'm thinking basketball. If you shoot 10 times and
okay,
you make
you
7 out of 10.
Yes.
You get 7 out of 10.
Okay.
In baseball,
yeah.
if you're at the plate,
mm-hmm.
nobody goes 7 out of 10.
No, because you don't get 10 pitches, do you?
Well, 10 at-bats, 10 times okay. to the plate.
Yeah.
The best hitters, on average, the best hitters
mm-hmm.
get a hit 3 out of 10 times.
The
best hitters.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do 30%, whereas the best basketball shooters might shoot 70% from the free throw line. It's weird. So
it's
don't
average.
Worry about the sports yeah. and how it figures out. Just
right,
know
right, right.
that something out of something. Well, what's perfection? It's unattainable.
100% or more.
Which, I mean, it's so hard to, there are very few things.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
we talked about on the podcast years ago and Meredith was like, well, what about bowling? You can bowl a perfect game.
Mm.
Like, right. In baseball, you can
yes.
pitch a perfect
See?
Game.
See, I'm with Meredith on this.
Right.
Because sometimes there's a measurable perfect
right.
outcome.
There is a measurable perfect outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get there
mm-hmm.
is doing your best.
Oh, okay. The pursuit
right?
of it then, or is it like the process, the journey?
To me, those are all the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I have a judgment or a value there where I think it's not complacency, right?
Yeah.
Similarly,
yeah.
with therapists,
mm-hmm.
therapists that go, well, this is how I practice. This is how I do things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to grow. I just do my own thing.
Right.
This works.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
And to me, that's being complacent. That's not striving. That's
yeah.
not pursuit. That's not doing. You're just complacent and
mm-hmm.
stagnant. And
mm-hmm.
I personally
yeah.
and professionally don't value that very much.
Yeah. And now I'm like, oh gosh, like, are there people that their value is to become complacent or comfortable and just like do the same thing every day?
And that brings us all the way back around to why Sarah has a reaction to meets expectations.
Yeah, right.
Because she thinks that that
is wrong.
Is wrong, is stagnant, is not doing anything.
Yep. Which I get. I have a visceral reaction to it too. That feeling of not doing enough.
Like absolutely.
But it's just not definable. Like, what is enough?
Right.
Everyone is inherently enough. You're a human.
Right. Well, and in therapy, we want our clients to leave at the end of a session feeling better.
Right, yeah.
And sometimes they
don't. Doesn't always happen. Yeah.
Yet, sometimes, even when they don't leave feeling better or cured, you know, or whatever it is, just having the session is building that relationship and is doing something.
Right, because it's part of the process.
Right.
It's just one
Again,
step
the process, the pursuit, the journey, all these things about not being stagnant. Yet, if you just show up to a session week after week and you don't know if you're getting better or you're,
you know, you're not doing invested your best, in it.
Something that you are doing, and I learned this in community mental health big time with teenagers who might have absentee father or parents that weren't there.
Yeah.
By me showing up, for them, I was seeing them like 2-3 times a week in their homes. Showing up was, in a sense, perfect. That was the doing. It was
that
consistent.
Was the expectation.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't stagnant. Mm. It was consistency.
Mm. Yeah. Right? Consistency and presence was meeting, or almost, it was kind of exceeding expectations. But no, it was, for the purposes of this, like, it was meeting expectations. Like, you were showing up, you were present.
But you right. And how you just like weren't sure about that. Meeting expectations in that sense can exceed, you know, what some expectations are, what expectations have been.
Right. It's just kind of subjective too when we really, when we break it down and dissect it like this.
Right. It's very, very subjective. And that's why what we do, I think, is subjective. How I am with Sarah is just what works with Sarah. It doesn't work for everybody. And for you guys out there, I hope you all have a sense of what your personal best is and not going, well, I need to be even better. It's just going, well, yeah, maybe I can maintain this best, or maybe I can strive, or maybe some days I'm not feeling my best, and that's okay too.
Right. Sometimes your best that day is just surviving.
Right.
It's context specific and day to day different.
Totally.
Cool.
Well, thank you guys for surviving another episode of us.
Right? Please stay tuned.
Yeah. We will be with you again next week, and we are always out there on social media, on
the TikTok,
the Facebook,
the Bing, the Yahoo, the Tumblr, the WordPress.
Oh gosh, no!
I'm whipping out all the old school ones.
I know you are.
It's fun.
Yeah, where's Discord. MySpace and Friendster?
MySpace. And, check us out on the bulletin that I'm going to post on MySpace.
There was a school one that I can't remember now.
School one?
There was like. Man, this is like 20 years ago.
There's AOL? One... AIM?
No.
Oh my God, that was my
Instant
jam.
Instant Messenger?
That was my jam.
Wow.
Grew up on that. Loved it.
Now I'm just bitter about anybody that doesn't have an iPhone and I have to see their messaging in green.
That is
blue.
My partner, Doug. Can you publicly shame him right now? He has an Android and it is ruining my life.
Oh, Troy, grow up.
Thank you. Thanks. Sorry, Troy. Not sorry.
On that note, we will see you guys. On your iPhones.
Android users, not allowed.
Well, we will see you, talk to you, feel you, encourage you, praise you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll be all here. We'll be present.
We'll just show up.
We'll just show up. That's all you have to do sometimes.
That's right.
We'll meet expectations.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.